All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner. We are back with the boys, so let's get started. To deal with your bleedings one at a time, yes, I set the thing up. What I didn't do was get your friend Det involved in trafficking narcotics. Or lead Big Bobby into the middle of it all. Why I did it was to see how you'd cope. Why I was there at all was because Mother's Milk called me. Ugh. Ugh. And no, I'm not a sweet old English gentleman. Greg Mallory, late of the 3rd Armored. Pleased to meet you. Well, good accent. I worked with a lot of your intelligence people after the war. Did them better than they did me. Aye, Brits all think Yank accents are easy, but they're fucking shite at it, You wanted to see how I'd cope? How did I cope? The smuggling operation's done with the Russians' vessel. Hold on, we'll try that one again. The smuggling operation's done with. The Russians' vessel was intercepted by the Royal Navy, which means all the principals are now in custody. On the other hand, you bludgered into the middle of it all and gave yourself away. You didn't have a plan. You had one man badly injured. Yes, that's what happens when you take people to war. But ultimately, you lost your temper and went straight at your opponent. If it hadn't been for the bird, he could have shot you dead. All in all, about a C-. And another thing. Tupper killed your friend, and you had him at your mercy. With the ID you carry, you could have snapped his neck and walked away scot-free. I could have? I don't... You've got no instinct for it. Work on that. I don't want to get better at killing folk. You should at least try to get better at something. How long were you seeing that girl before you realized who she was? You knew? Recognized her right away. I keep up with this stuff, even if I'm not involved anymore. MM told me you had a bad breakup before you left. All I did was put two and two together. Some going, laying a soup and not even knowing. I played nice guy so you'd relax and talk. I listened to you bitch about your friends and family in Scotland, but all I can see was people who love you. You have nothing to complain about that I can see. And no excuses for not pulling your head out of your ass, which is... which I have to say is going to take some doing. No, the girl is not as simple as... There's things happen with her I don't know... Excuse me. I didn't know about it. I wasn't ready for any of it. Put up or shut up. No? Where is she anyway? She's... I'm trying to keep her out of this for now. Look at this. Look where we are. Oh, excuse me. That's a woman. Look at this. Look where we are. We should be so happy. Hello? Sorry. I was just thinking. I've got to come up this way tomorrow when I go to see the guy. Dud. Eh? Nothing. You won't be coming this way. You said your mystery man lives near Big Sur. That's south of the city, not north. Oh, aye. You sure you don't want me to come? Oh, no. Course not. Oh, Annie, not this again. I told you, it's just too... Yes, you told me. I can't come with you because a soup, which you sometimes correct to one of you people, thanks, a soup could mess everything up. In fact, apparently I should go ahead and quit being a soup because not everyone loves them and things might be getting quite dangerous for them soon. Can't you see how frustrating it is for me? Not just little hints like that... There's also the fact that you saw secret surveillance footage from the 7's HQ. Don't. I'm not going to mention it. I know the thought's enough to make you want to disappear inside your own foreskin. But can't you see how obvious it is that you're just not who you say you are? That was lovely, that was. The thing about the foreskin. Well, that's me, Huey. I'm the perfect girl. You read about me in Maxim or whatever. I tell dirty jokes like I'm one of the guys, and I'm sitting there in my panties and bra so you can see I'm a piece of ass in the bargain. Except I'm real, so I come with all kinds of complications. What the fuck are you into, really? Oh God, Annie. You can't tell me. I know. You can't talk to me. You can't relax with me. You can barely even bring yourself to touch me. Aren't we doing well? Look, I'm so sorry, I don't know how this could possibly turn out well for us. I mean, we've been over it again and again, and you've heard nothing that's made you happy. Do you not think you've put up with enough? Do you not think there'd be better, maybe? I can't. I feel like you're the only human being I've ever known. I mean, look at my foster parents, or the young Americans, or the seven, for Christ's sake. Look how they all treated me compared to what you and I had. Why would I ever want to let you go? I'm sorry, I hadn't thought of it like that. You don't have to keep on telling me you're sorry. I know I'm just a giant complication in your life right now, but if you could carry on being sort of semi-nice to me for a while, I'd appreciate it. I read about a Cuban restaurant up on the height. It sounded really, really good. If you're going to be leaving in the morning, do you think we could go there tonight? Oh, of course we can. That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? It's nice here. I like this whole coastline. I've seen it when I was driving down this morning. Edge of the known world. Next stop, Japan. Always liked the idea of moving out here. You can go no further, like the pioneers with their wagons and their horses. This is it. You've seen everything the country has to offer. This is as good a place to finish up as any. Did you not fancy the city? No. I'm done with cities. They complicate and compromise. Intrigue against you, even. Something in their nature, their history, it makes you into less than what you are. San Francisco was a cesspool in its time. A century ago, little more, there was a stretch of it where every son of a bitch in all creation gathered. They came in off the ocean, or across the land, and they made that place a whore to rival Babylon. But out here, you leave all that behind. You look the past in the eye, and you feel clean. Why? What do you mean about finishing up? I'm 91 years old. No fucking way, you're never... Shit, is this the V? Does this mean that all of us are... Yes. Don't get too excited, it's not eternal life. Feels more like taxidermy, if the truth be told. You'll get a few more years than you might have done, and you won't look your age until the end. You'll only feel it. Pickled was the word Vogelbaum used to use. Jings! Look, I'm sort of assuming you didn't go all the way to Otterladel and then have me come all the way here just to give me a load of abuse. But there's more if you want it. Thanks anyway. What I was more thinking was what the game is here. Like, why you're so interested in me in the first place. Because of the name that hasn't come up yet. You're not afraid to say it, am I right? But you are afraid of facing what might be. MM said a couple of things. I just don't see why he couldn't, I don't know, tell me all of it himself. He likes you. He says you have heart. But he's not about to mess up his shot at the people who destroyed his family. So all he does is call you. You're in the land of grown-ups now. I went to Scotland because I wanted to know why you were chosen in the first place. I'm still none the wiser. Well, thanks a fucking bundle. You should be aware that I walked away from the boys for specific reasons. Getting involved again is not a thing I do lightly. But you see how we're already avoiding the subject. I came back because I'm afraid of what might be too, Huey. Now what that is, I do not know. When I first heard his name, I was looking for muscle, but he was that, plus brains. And he spent the next 15 years getting much, much smarter, watching me. Learning how to use the machinery. You see, I can't tell you that much about the man that you haven't probably figured out already, but I can tell you why I started this thing rolling in the first place and how I watched it turn into something else. And once I've told you, you can draw your own conclusions. It was the last winter of the war. I remember how crisp it was that morning. The sky was overcast, but flawless. It was cold, and it was still. And it wouldn't be long before it snowed again. We were the 6th Battalion, 32nd Armored Regiment, 3rd Armored Division. What that usually meant was 300 men riding, maybe 60 tanks, plus support personnel. But we'd been sent to a quiet sector of the line to try to make good our losses of the previous 6 months. I think we were actually across the German border, but the fighting was all to the north or south. At last, we had time to re-equip, to train replacements, and God knows we needed it. I was a captain then, executive officer to the battalion. I liked it. Loved it even. To clarify, I was ambivalent about the army. and at the time I didn't feel like I was taking part in any great crusade. But the men of the 632nd, I would cheerfully have walked through hell for. What's the verdict? Same gun? Excuse me, guys. Same tank, new gun. Optics seem okay. We'll know for sure till we mark out a range and start bore sighting. Good armor penetration? Book says so, but it has a shitty high explosive shell. Only about half the bang of the old one. Doesn't fire white phosphorus at all. Are we supposed to mark targets? Or fry nests of krauts alive? I don't know. We use that stuff for everything. What the hell were they thinking? Captain Mallory, the colonel wants to see you. Right. It was designed as a tank killer. I guess you can't have it all. Germans seem to. Why does no one ever ask us about this stuff? I remember the colonel as a lion in combat and a pussy in all other circumstances. I'd seen him lead charges into the mouths of German guns and pulled injured men out of burning tanks, then bend over for whatever general happened along with the latest suicidal attack plan. He'd fight the enemy. He just wouldn't fight for us. Morning, Greg. Like some coffee? Thank you, Colonel. Be right back with it, sir. Greg, we have a couple of visitors from back home. Senator Bush. Prescott Sheldon Bush of Connecticut. Glad to make your acquaintance. And this is Mr. Henry Newman. Newman. Henry K. Newman. Vought American. Consolidated. VAC? You the people used to make our boots? That is correct. Uh-huh. Well, we're here with something a lot more interesting than boots today, young fellow. Here by personal invitation of General Eisenhower, I might add. That's right, Henry. This is something new, and it has generated interest all the way to the top. You talking about the tanks? No. We're talking about soldiers, Captain Mallory. Very special soldiers who are to be attached to your unit for combat trials. They're going to revolutionize the way this war is fought. I can honestly say that. Nothing is ever going to be the same again. Okay. Heh. You certainly take things in your stride, don't you, son? You learn to. My war started in the Normandy bow cage last July. Since then, I don't think I've heard a single promise that actually came true. Now look here. No, that's all right. I know I'm indulging in some pretty big talk here. I tell you what, Captain, how about you come with us and we show you what we mean? I'm guessing Mr. Newman's company is behind these miracle men. I'm just wondering where a United States Senator fits in the picture. Well, you might say I'm Mr. Newman's champion on Capitol Hill. Not everyone looks to the future the way we do. It can take some pretty hefty political muscle to get things past the stick in the muds. We take this war pretty darn seriously in Washington, you know. We aren't blind to what you boys are going through. Why, my own boy is currently serving in the Pacific Theater. Here we are. Here? Can't be too many of them if they all fit in one tent. We don't need too many of them, Captain. You'll see. Is this a joke? Wait a minute. The legend said something about this. He told me Vought had a go at using soups in the war. Is that what this is? They couldn't have picked a worse time for it if they'd tried. I said it was a quiet sector. And it had been. Forests are supposed to be bad tank country to begin with, and the Germans were generally reckoned to be exhausted. No one was expecting trouble in the Ardennes that winter. But all that means is that we'd forgotten who we were up against, and they were just about to remind us, because it was the 16th of December, 1944, the start of Operation Autumn Mist. The Battle of the Bulge was on its way. Next, the Bitter Woods, 53. Derek Robertson's rough pencils for the cover to 53. Wow, kind of like that better. Today they're everywhere. You grow up with them. Even if you don't care, you can't help but know they exist. But I didn't have that frame of reference. All I could think was, why are these lunatics dressed like this? It was suggested that the colonel have a quiet word, just to help me understand the situation. Sir, you telling me this is for real? Yes, Greg. They've been attached to the battalion? They'll be going into combat with us? Yes. Doing what, for Christ's sake? All I can tell you is that it's legit. Senator Bush is carrying a letter signed by Eisenhower himself. We're to afford both him and any representative of VAC all the assistance we can render. Ike planning a move into politics, is he? I have my orders, Greg. I'm sorry. Soldier Boy in the Avenging Squad reporting for duty, sir. You keep doing that outdoors, you're gonna make me sniper meat. Barbary Coast, Part 2. Officers, get saluted. Officers, get shot. Avenging Squad? This isn't final. The theme will either be revenge or justice. We're still trying to decide. We being the boys at VAC. Correct. You're looking at the results of 5 years' work by our research department's most brilliant minds. Human beings adapted by science to be stronger, smarter, and faster than any other soldier on the battlefield. This is the future, Captain Mallory. You'd do well to embrace it. So, this is their first go at V. More or less. Vogelbaum came out of Germany in 38. He'd already been working on it for a while. Well, here's what I'm embracing right now, Mr. Newman. 6th Battalion is seriously under strength in personnel and stands at barely one-third its regular complement of tanks. What we do have are new and unfamiliar. We haven't even started working out the bugs in them. Can you explain to me how the future's going to help with any of that? Go on, Steel Knight! So they can lift it. Flip it over if they so choose. Woof! Thanks, Gladio. You betcha, partner. Is that it? For now. I'm not saying that men lifting a 36-ton Sherman a foot off the ground is something you see every day, but some of the German tanks weigh almost twice that, and they'll be shooting at you at the time, don't forget. Let them. The Crimson Countess can melt tanks with her power blasts. Say the word. Not one of ours, if you don't mind. How carefully have you thought this through? I beg your pardon? Greg. Look, I'm not saying. Hey, Skipper, who are your new buddies? Your crew likely to pass muster at the next inspection. Your crew likely to pass muster at the next inspection, Sergeant. You people probably think the kind of action we see is big and flashy. Machines against machines, unstoppable metal beasts. Just the backdrop you want when the reporters show up to see this squad of yours. But you haven't run proper tests. You haven't faced up to the reality. Now, Captain Mallory, and the reality is, Senator, that you are dangerously out of your depth. Before we take new weapons into battle, we test them and train them with them, as thoroughly as we can, because we're going to be depending on them for our lives. And like I said, we're under strength and in no shape to face Kraut Iron, and now you expect us to somehow cope with this? But that's why the squad are here, so they can train with you. Isn't this a quiet part of the line? It's still the line. We're still inside Germany. No one who hasn't seen combat has any business being here at all. Iron. Armor. What? You mean like a suit of armor? Like a knight? Tanks, you... Oh, there's no need to worry about that. There's nothing like that in this area. We already checked it out. Come again? What do you mean you checked it out? Yes, as soon as we arrived. I wanted to be certain everything was secure, so I had Manbot, the Buzzer, and Eagle the Archer go up and take a look. The weather might be keeping our planes out of action, but it can't stop the Avenging Squad. These boys can fly right down low. No one's going to get past them. And I'm happy to report they didn't see a single thing. They can fly? Wait a minute. On whose authority did you order a reconnaissance mission? I'm Soldier Boy. You didn't think to ask anyone? Hey, Colonel, why, because anyone seeing flying men might get a little suspicious, might send out scouts in their last noted direction. Who, if they come far enough and look hard enough, might run across an armored battalion neither ready nor equipped to properly defend itself? It wasn't instinct. Wasn't combat experience. Nothing really kicked in. It was just a jumble of thoughts in my head. Well, we hadn't seen a German in weeks. Then again, better safe than sorry. Jesus, I'm going to be eating a ton of shit if this turns out to be nothing. But first I was walking. Then I was running. Then I let my feet take over, and I was flat out sprinting. Do you know what you could have brought down on us, Senator? You told me your people would be under my command. And they are, Colonel. I assure you, they are. They didn't see anyone. Captain Mallory? Mount up, start up! Skipper? Mount up, start up! Cody, mount up, get a rolling! Oh, Jesus Christ! No! What's... Germans! What the hell are you doing? Move! Crop patrol get lucky? What are the chances, huh? Nah! Yeah! Hold your fire till you have a target. Watch out for our guys. Gotta get above it. Gotta fly. Soar like an eagle. What the fuck? You stupid fucking bastard. Ah! Oh, Jesus Christ almighty. Panthers. Sons of bitches will have us for breakfast. Gunner, tank, armor piercing, traverse right. Steady on. This ain't no fucking patrol. This is a full-scale attack. Range 50. Fire! But there are some things you can always rely on. Cody? Then these were real men, don't forget. Real flesh and blood. Not multicolored shit dreamed up by overgrown kids. Who's going to tell the world about them? Who's going to make sure that... Excuse me, let's try that one again. Who's going to tell the world about them? Who's going to make sure that their stories live on? The rest of the history of the Bulge. Well, it's an epic. Chaos at first. Men running for their lives or quitting. But others doing what they can. Little patchwork units thrown together from whoever comes along. Some corporal grabs a couple of engineers, a driver out of gas, a cook, and they pick up their rifles and choose their spot. And hold. They're bleeding the Germans out, you see. One pinprick after another. They're buying time for the airborne to get into position at Bastogne, and for Patton's Third Army to make its way up from the south. And pretty soon everyone's fighting, hitting the bastards with everything they've got until the sun comes out again. Then the Air Force can go back to work. Long time ago now, most people don't even know anymore, but it's why I'll always be proud to be an American soldier. My battle, though, it ended there in that clearing. Not long after nightfall, a Panzer Grenadier patrol came through, Wehrmacht this time, not SS, thank Christ, and found me in the middle of it all. They patched me up and sent me to their rear, and I spent the rest of my war, and I spent the rest of the war in a POW compound outside Leipzig. It was some time before I told anyone what happened. It took me long enough just to get it straight in my head. The condition my mind was in, I'm lucky I even managed that much.
Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me.
You were the only one left.
Mm-hmm.
When the Krauts found me, I was sitting in the snow, staring at a piece of bloody leather. Must have come from someone's costume, had the brand name stamped on. I don't know when I picked it up, but it was the fragment of the day I took away from me. Von American Consolidated. And I thought then, like I think now, how dare they put that word in the middle of something so disgusting? But I guess that's an old trick, right? Next, and by God, we are going to collect. 54. Derek Robertson's final inks for the cover to 54. Bring your glass. I got home in July of 45. For a while, it looked like the army would be needed in the east. But then they dropped the A-bombs on Japan, and that was that. So no war, new world, and I have no idea what my place is in it. After the business in the woods, I have no sense of victory whatsoever. I feel like there's still unfinished business, some battle or other I should go and fling myself into. But no war, like I say. So what to do? By chance, I run into Rick Burham, old friend of mine from my Dartmouth days. I tell him a little about what happened. Tell him no one, not a single officer I've spoken to since the POW camp, wants to hear a single word about it. He tells me about some people he knows in Washington. He's going out there the following week, and I should come along. They're looking for guys like us, he says, young and hungry, not done yet. I say I'm not hungry, Rick. All I am is hungry. Angry, rather. Try that one again. That didn't work. I say I'm not hungry, Rick. All I am is angry. He says, that'll do just fine. And that's how I take my first step towards joining the CIA. Jings! Here, do you own all this? Family's rich. In D.C., I meet these friends of Rick's. All young officers or ex-officers. All Ivy League boys from good families and all, one way or another, with the same axe to grind. And one exception, Wild Bill Donovan. Ever heard of him? Ran the Office of Strategic Services during the war, pretty much what would become the agency in peacetime. Larger-than-life character, a couple of 100 years ago he would have been a pirate. When an evil company tried to blend in, that was one of his. Now, I knew Rick was a Marine, but until then I hadn't known he'd been at Tarawa. It was an atoll in the Pacific where the Higgins boats got hung up on a reef and our guys had to wade the rest of the way straight into the Jap fire. Rick talked about afterwards. The sand, black-red, and the surf, just bloody froth and bodies. So many bodies and parts of them walling together like a giant raft, shifting and shoving up limb after limb. This mass had been his men, he said, and gradually I began to see why we were there. All I could think, sir, was, Jesus, this had better have been for something. Gentlemen, there are American boys lying strewn across beaches or fields or the bottoms of oceans or hanging from barbed wire all over this entire planet, and they did not die so that the old ways could continue. The British and French and Dutch will not be allowed to restore their empires to carry on as if nothing has happened. We will not allow what has been fought for, paid for, to slip through our fingers. The world owes us, gentlemen. And by God, we are going to collect. And you went for it. It had been a long war, Huey. We stood on our beaches, or in our clearings in the woods. We knelt in the blood of our beloved dead. We reached out for something to make it right, and not once did we consider that we were starting from the wrong place. All we could think was that there had to be some meaning to it. Things like this, they couldn't happen in the world, not even blink. But dress it up however we might. As debt collected to be paid towards better times, as protection for the future against repeat afflictions, the meaning we had chosen was revenge. Barbary Coast, Part 3. More? Aye, please. She was a doll. She made you believe in things. Who? Oh, let's try that one again. I know which one it was done it to her, and I'm gonna fucking have him for it. Who? One of the big boys. I thought it wasn't so much the war you blame for what happened to your men. Quite right. It was VAC. They're soups. After all, you can't really blame the Waffen-SS for doing what comes naturally. But a funny thing happened on the way to the moral high ground. You see, when the time came for me to tell my story, well, you can probably imagine, it's 1945, and I'm talking about flying men and people who lift tanks, and I'm saying they were all on the payroll of a major defense contractor. No one sneers at me. I'm not immediately under suspicion, nor am I cast out, but it's pretty clear that I am, in modern parlance, decidedly off message. William Donovan wanted a single agency to coordinate all secret intelligence for the United States government, to act boldly and decisively in every corner of the globe. That was the goal. It was going to take some doing, and distractions were extremely unwelcome. And so, convincing myself that my experience had been a freak accident... Oh, excuse me. Oh, right, there's some more. Our new enemy had been identified in the shape of Soviet Russia, indeed. Many said that we had dispensed with the German and Japanese distractions and were finally getting down to the main event. The whole world would be our battlefield. The stakes were unimaginable. And so, convincing myself that my experience had been a freak incident, I allowed myself to be swept along on the Great American Crusade. Freak! No one reported hearing of anything remotely like it again. Men with wings, storybook costumes, senatorial backing. I did all the research I could and concluded that that VAC had wisely scrapped the project. And there was a part of me, I must confess, that was happy to forget it for the moment. The strange thing was that Donovan didn't last. He'd always treated Harry Truman as a hayseed. A mistake a lot of people made, and J. Edgar Hoover downright loathed him. Intelligence, after all, was the preserve of the ever-expanding FBI. There were mutterings of American Gestapo, and Wild Bill was dismissed, but in the end, it didn't really matter. His spirit remained. There were enough of us, his acolytes, to see things through. We built the spy service he'd wanted and went right to work. The Iron Curtain was a reality by 46, and we were ready for it. We dropped agents all over Russia and Eastern Europe, gave them weapons and transmitters, told them to liaise with local freedom fighters and establish an espionage network that would infect the Soviet Union like a virus. Exciting stuff. Heady times. Cloak and dagger, merchants on the ground. Us back in Washington directing operations as if they were a finely balanced game of chess. And the Russians. The Russians killed every single man we sent. We didn't find this out for many years, but they'd been waiting for us. They had spies of their own in the West. If there were any local freedom fighters actually worth talking about, the groups had already been completely infiltrated. I don't know what I said there. So they scooped up our people and tortured them before they shot them, and got the radio codes they needed and said, plenty of potential here. Send more people. Send more equipment. Send more everything. And Christ, we did. Our mistake was thinking a bunch of can-do Boy Scouts could take on one of the most sophisticated espionage organizations in history. It didn't matter that the enemy were communists, because first and foremost they were Russian. Soviet or Tsarist, they had several hundred years of clandestine operations experience to draw on. We did not. Years later, I checked the records of 42 OSS agents that Bill Donovan dropped into Nazi Germany. Only two were ever heard from again. At this point, I should talk a little bit about spies and teams and special forces. First of all, a spy is not an impeccably dressed assassin in an Aston Martin. He's generally a seedy little man you wouldn't look at twice. The same quite often goes for the man who's sent to kill him. He's also bitter, spiteful, malcontent. If his life had turned out the way he wanted, he'd hardly have become a traitor in the first place, would he? Then again, he gets the job done, because no one's looking at him twice, which leads me to the team. Another notion beloved and misconstrued by writers of fiction, oddball individualists brought together for a common purpose. The cool-headed leader who snaps commands, the muscle man with a hair-trigger temper, the femme fatale, some more fatale than others. The screwball, the innocent kid, the loner with a secret, the specialist achieving more united than they ever could apart. Which leads me to special forces, and if the very phrase doesn't make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, you haven't been going to the movies. It's a powerful concept. There's no denying they have their place. You could argue that the campaign against the insurgency in Pakistan has seen them truly come into their own. The mystique surrounding covert military operatives has bewitched some surprising people down the years. Men who should have known better, like Churchill, Kennedy, you. It's a you. The reality is that they denied regular formations of their best, most motivated individuals. They cost a lot to train and maintain for often limited returns. And they can find it hard to justify the expense. Sometimes, to do so, they create their own missions, becoming, in effect, private armies. Pakistan, again, or you may have read, civilian fatalities have become a source of much embarrassment to U.S. military commanders, almost as much as their own inability to rein in the SEAL and Delta teams responsible. You think the boys have turned into that? So do you, according to M.M. I just wondered, I mean, I ken what a black budget is, and I can't imagine the cash that pays for us is on the books, which means it's, well, it's open to abuse. There is a real mission here. The soups need watching. There's no denying that. Oh, I know. I knew that from the beginning. Segue over. This is where my narrative, along with the mission I'd assigned myself, both get back on track. Dear God. They'd been renamed, and I could tell from the picture that they weren't the same people under the mask. They were being sold as an anti-crime with vague, i.e. non-existent, government credentials. The word military wasn't mentioned. The word military wasn't mentioned once. Eventually, of course, these particular clowns would become the group you knew as Payback. After a few adjustments to the cast, the lineup, in Tech Knight's case, the franchise, they'd be good to go, but in 1950 they seemed brand spanking new. Crime Fighters Incorporated, Soldier Boy, the Steel Knight, Ladio, Eagle the Archer, Man Bot the Buzzer, and Crimson Countess meet the press. Didn't they all die horrifically? Unless you'd been at a certain location in the Ardennes several years before, in which case your world had just capsized. Have you seen the post? This is the thing I was trying to tell you about, and... Greg, where the hell are you? I'm in the park. It's Saturday. Look. Well, get your ass in here right away. Saturday's canceled. What? North Korea just invaded the South. There's a fucking communist army coming across the 38th parallel, and it doesn't look like anything can stop them. You better get in here now, pal, because we're in a shooting war. If it's not one damn thing, it's another. Of course, you could be forgiven for wondering why the Central Intelligence Agency didn't see it coming, but that's another story. You said 1950, aye? That's when they introduced these crime fighters or whatever? Well, isn't that just a year before the Homelander's born? Because the legend told me they brought him out in 69, but he'd really been stuck in a bunker with the nuke for the past 18 years. So that would mean he was born in 51, so when Vought announced these other guys, he'd already been on the way. Very good. In fact, Jonah Vogelbaum had been working on the Homelander for years. As you know, he was the first sure to be born as such, with the others simply ordinary human beings injected with V as adults. Not a patch on what Vought hoped they'd have eventually, of course. But what the hell? You've got him, so why not use him for something? Blaze the trail, lay the groundwork for him, when you're eventually ready to tell the world. Watch them do it. Korea was one big thing. Excuse me, guys. Korea was one thing, but the big war stayed cold. We settled in for the long haul, and through all of it, Castro and United Fruit and all the other distractions, I kept one eye on VAC. They were running the same movie star routine they do today, and they were smart about it. Anyone mentioning Soups and Defense when they saw these guys would have been laughed right out the door. A less suspicious man than I might have even thought they'd learned their lesson. After all, who the hell would want to risk another massacre? But I watched them worming their way into the popular culture, wrapping the flag around them nice and tight, and all I could think was, this is going somewhere. The idea being that I'd one day march into my boss's office and present him with a documentary evidence of the greatest threat to national security since the Confederacy. Then I got a wake-up call. The legend told you about the Yi Drong? I was in Saigon at the time, visiting the field office there with Rick Burnham. Rick was senior to me by now, having kept his mind on the job a little more successfully. Word came in that something terrible had happened up north, and we grabbed our sidearms and a couple of flak vests and hopped the very next Huey. If I'm honest, we had the hard-ons that veterans sometimes get whenever they catch a whiff of gun smoke. After all, it had been over 20 years. This is a goddamn disgrace. The magazines are practically made from aluminum foil. I doubt you could get off 5 rounds without the feed buckling. I can't believe we sent men into combat with this piece of garbage. VAC have got to be made to pay for this. Heads are going to roll. So to speak. Jesus Christ, Rick, is that supposed to be funny? Can you imagine what these kids must have gone through getting overrun? Watching the noose tighten until they're back to back and then it's rifle butts and fists and fucking teeth? I don't have to imagine it, as you very well know. Sorry, you know what I mean. I just can't see how this happened, how these money-grubbing pricks were allowed to equip American soldiers. They were the lowest bidder. Come again? American capitalism, Greg. You want to put the brakes on that? I mean, what are you turning into, some kind of socialist now? Ah, fucking ha. I thought the point of you and I answering the call was to stop these things from ever happening again. No, the point was that if they were going to happen, we were going to make them mean something. And what the hell does this mean? This? This is the cost of doing business. The point was to engage Soviet and Chinese communism. The point was war. The details didn't matter a damn. But Bobby Kennedy went after Vought for the rifles. He bloody well crucified them. And they came back 3 years later with the Homelander, and that's when I knew I'd been right all along. It was the legend who made the next move. Got himself filmed at a memorial service for the Air Cav. I knew nothing about comic books, but my secretary pointed him out on the news. Oh, that's the funny little man who runs Victory Comics. My boys love him. I was curious. A Vought man feeling guilty for his company's action, that didn't play at all. But a glance at the records and there's a Lieutenant and Bravo company seems to have the same name, so... Oh, Christ. Aye. His son. The first one. Not that bastard whelp he produced with Mauve. Anyhow. The legend was hoping someone was watching, figuring Vought's latest play had to have gotten some of the right kind of attention. We met, and it was like discovering a gold mine. He knew everything. The truth about the Homelander's origins. The support Vought have in Congress. The support their opposition have, too, and even Vogelbaum in Compound V. Which was where I decided to make a start. Vogelbaum? But he killed himself. No, he didn't. The legend thinks he did, along with MM and the other two. Then again, they also think the V that Butcher used on you was stolen by me from the CIA Industrial espionage is rarely a two-way street. I had two objectives. One, because the agency didn't care about Vought, I was on my own. Therefore, I had to turn the Supes and their owners into an actual visible threat. Two, I had to be able to neutralize or at least combat that threat. And pursuing these objectives, I was finally able to utilize the skills and resources of the CIA to do something worthwhile. First, having learned Vogelbaum's location from the legend, I anonymously sent the details to the CEOs of Boeing, Dow, General Dynamics, and several other major Vought competitors. Then I waited for them to check the information and act. Then I followed his abductors to their initial RV and eliminated them, prior to doing the same to Vogelbaum. He created Stormfront for the Nazis, then turned the kid over to VA and started a suit program up for them. It was his creation that got my battalion slaughtered. He'd given us the Homelander, Black Noir, the whole Aryan dream made real, and God only knew what his experiments would enable Vought to do in the future. And when it came to it, I didn't have it in me to shoot a whimpering little 70-year-old man. He was the classic scatterbrain academic. Hiding in his work from the memory of his family's murder. Hiding from the reality of where his work was headed, come to that. He put me in mind of Oppenheimer, realizing far too late exactly what it was that he'd achieved, begging Truman not to use it. And killing him wouldn't stop Vought. Even if they couldn't replicate his work, the entire lineup of the Seven was already established. So I decided he would come and work for Uncle Sam, or me, at any rate. So why does everyone think he slashed his wrist, then? There are certain freelancers the agency employs to provide cadavers, lookalikes, essentially. It happens off the books with payments in cash. No one in authority wants to know. A recently deceased geriatric male, right height and weight, beaten beyond recognition when he resisted his abductors, radial and ulnar arteries open, was not hard to locate. Said abductors were never found. They obviously absconded when they realized they'd killed the star prize. I decided to go to Burnham. He might not have seen VA as a threat initially, but he was a fiercely loyal company man, and I had a feeling he was headed all the way to the top. When I told him what Vogelbaum told me, he reacted exactly like I hoped. He was livid that Vought had kept such an obvious national security asset to themselves. Who did Von Braun belong to? NASA or fucking McDonnell Douglas, was how he put it. All of a sudden, someone was on my side. Up to a point, I knew Rick's first instinct would be to start Vogelbaum working on Supes for us, under our own program, which was exactly what I didn't want. It doesn't matter who controls the purse strings, you can't put a human brain behind power like that and expect any good to come out of it. So I briefed the old man myself, very carefully, very precisely. He'd woken up to the disastrous potential of what he'd created. It didn't take much for him to play ball. His work had to become prohibitively expensive, and it did. It had to take a long, long time to bear fruit. No problems there. It could not ever result in anything like a superhuman that the U.S. Army would consider using on the battlefield. Vogelbaum was 3 for 3. So when I eventually did present his magic formula to Rick 7 or 8 years later, it was what I'd asked for, a one-shot injection of V that increased strength and endurance by a factor of about 20. It didn't make you fly, and it didn't make you bulletproof. Jesus, it took him long enough, says Rick. How much did it end up costing? And I tell him, and that's when he had his first heart attack. He'd organized a budget and left me to draw on it as I saw fit, and I made the most of the opportunity. These were the days of wine and roses. Iran-Contra had yet to come along to spoil the fun. I wasn't worried about Rick. He was tough. He was a shrewd operator, and he always made the most of a bad situation. I was counting on that one in particular for his return. You're not very sentimental about each other, are you? We're the greatest generation, kid. Whiskey and iron and guts and glory. Besides, I was right. He was back inside a year. And 2 years after that, he was director of the agency. Bodies buried and skeletons shut away. I'd been quiet, letting him cool down. But I picked my moment and made my pitch. We never have our army of soups. We just couldn't afford it. And we couldn't announce what we did have, either, or Congress would hang, draw, and quarter us over what we'd spent. But we could have operatives to oppose soups, and the way things were moving, we were going to need them. This was around 85, and Vought had added the G-men to their roster. All manner of others, too, they showed no sign of slowing down. I knew what they were selling. So did Rick. And we knew it was only a matter of time before the wind changed, and they bought the votes they needed on the Hill. So my pitch was a team, created to do one job and one job only. Aimed like a bullet at the heart of the Vought American Superhuman Development Program. We would manage, we would police, we would liquidate when necessary. We would never let them get comfortable enough to begin the next stage of their agenda. The tiny reserve of one-shot V that we did have would be used to empower our operatives, for which, of course, we needed a guinea pig. Somebody had to be first. But did you not say that the teams weren't really the way to go? Because of all the ways they can turn out wrong? I did. I did indeed. But hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? I started looking for likely candidates, and it wasn't long before I first ran across Butcher. Next, outside in the cold distance. 55. Last one for tonight. I eventually came to believe that his greatest and most enviable skill is keeping his mouth shut, which is something of a lost art, but the commonly held belief that getting everything off your chest is good for your spiritual health, or that telling everyone all there is to know about yourself is both positive and harmless, notions like that have passed him by. He likes to know intel, secrets, people's confessions, all of it, but he divulges no more of his own business than he carefully chooses to. Which is why, as I said earlier, that I can tell you very little about him that you aren't already aware of. What follows will therefore be enlightening and frustrating in equal measure. He told me about his wife nearly straight away. Neither the manner nor the timing of his telling you served his agenda one iota. Let's try that one again. Neither the manner nor the timing of his telling you served his agenda one iota? Well, I suppose. It was when I was telling him I didn't think I could join the... What else do you know about him? Well, I know he was in the Army for starters. No, the Royal Marines. Be as precise as you can. All right, well, he's English. He's from London, probably the East End. He's a clever bastard, and he's dangerous as fuck, and his wife was killed when she was raped by soup and the baby or whatever, and he's come out of her. I'm pretty sure it was the Homelander did it. I'm about 95% certain. It was. London's correct. He was born there in 1965. He joined the Marines at the age of 16 and fought in the Falklands War a year later. He was wounded and subsequently court-martialed for the worst of a series of violent assaults which began not long after his recovery. One brother died in an accident, age 19. Mother died recently. Father still alive. Was his brother younger or older? Born 2 years after he was. Those are the details I was able to glean before meeting him for the first time, as well as the autopsy on his wife, which I read carefully and which left me thoroughly appalled. It's worth noting that there's no record of the assaults he committed continuing after he left the military, which either means he was very lucky or I can't say for certain, but I suspect that Rebecca Butcher was a special woman. It's possible that her death was one of two tragedies.
Hmm. Why did you want him? I mean, what was it about him in particular like?
Same reason he wanted you. You'd felt it. Superhumans had killed or ruined someone close to you. They'd smashed your life. As they had his, as they had mine. I wanted people who had no choice but to be involved.
No, it's just a job. No, I don't take it home with me. I wanted people who lived, breathed, ate, and dreamed this thing.
This sounds a wee bit like another crusade. Whatever it wasn't about to happen overnight. Taking on the products of American industry was frowned upon, to say the least. You might recall Rick Burnham's reference to capitalism. I knew it would take time. For the first few years, I had to content myself with two operatives and a fairly limited purview. Then Dakota Bob took a hand, and slowly, very slowly, things began to change. Dakota Bob? An interesting man. He was a last-minute replacement as Bush's running mate, when the original candidate managed to say "Thy Kingdom, cunt" at a prayer breakfast. You're probably a little young to remember. I think of Bob as the first of the truly active vice presidents. A lot of people said that if the roles had been reversed, the GOP would have had 92 in the bag as well. But fair was fair. George had served his time. Now, as hireling of various special interests, the same ones I alerted to Vogelbaum's whereabouts, Bob wanted Vought American's agenda torpedoed. As soon as word reached the agency, Rick got us in to see him. His support could never be public, of course, but then what we were doing couldn't be publicly acknowledged to begin with. But he could smooth the way for us, keep us out of the limelight.
Hang on, it didn't bother you that you were just carrying out those other wankers' agenda? These fucking corporate pricks?
What can I say, Huey? Are you turning into some kind of socialist now?
What Bob began, Clinton continued. He had backers of his own to serve.
Well, I bet he did. Of course, the trouble with support from politicians is that the pressures of public life forced them to blow hot and cold. We had more than one green light turn red in mid-operation. You can imagine how that went down. Two accidental Monica Lewinsky references there, but she did inadvertently cost us dear.
Ho, ho, ho. So that must mean Butcher and Bob are still in touch then. They have been all along.
Very, very discreetly, and I imagine Bob's the one who initiates with few contacts there are. But yes, Bob got in touch in 2001, almost as soon as he returned to the White House. And it would have been him who got things going again a couple of years ago. I imagine the agency received the directive just before you appeared on the scene. Much of the surprise of Susan Rayner, who'd been Burnham's deputy and who replaced him after the fifth heart attack, I never cared for her at all. Burnham was like me, a company man first and foremost. I got the impression that for Rayner, the CIA was just a stepping stone. In that regard, she was smart enough to see that supporting an operation like ours could cut both ways. But back to Butcher in the beginning. Originally, I recruited him as muscle, yes, but I had one eye on the future, and I knew my team would need a good NCO. I misjudged him in that regard. He is, of course, pure officer material.
What's the difference?
Well, I recall an old master sergeant once telling me that NCOs look after the men, so that officers can figure out how to get them killed. It's the difference between maintenance and command. It wasn't until much later that I realized just how much he came alive at that point, how engaged he became, and the choice of personnel, the definition of the remit, everything. He even chose the name. I still can't decide if that's significant or not. Doesn't really matter, it's just for the paperwork. I thought Unit X, that wouldn't be mistaken for anything else.
No. Oh, no, that's fucking terrible. We'll sound like a bunch of wankers.
You have another suggestion?
Well, MMF, where I come from, when somebody wants someone done over, they talk about sending the boys around. Harry's turned into a right mouthy twat. I'm gonna send the boys around, yeah? Who's they?
Whoever wants Harry's legs broken.
Who are the boys?
Whoever they send to break 'em.
You want the last taco there, ta?
And that was it? If you were expecting a secret origin, you came to the wrong place. We gathered the others and went to work. There was no obvious difference at first. We were still doing the same job. And things went well at first. MM immediately revealed himself as a huge asset.
I've never seen his equal as an investigator, and I've seen plenty. And the Frenchman and female were ideal for simple, extreme sanctions. You simply aim them at the target like a gun. We saved so much time. The difference, when I did become aware of it, was both subtle and gradual. Before, the two of us had watched, collated police, and only very occasionally taken final action. Now confrontation was more common. Events seemed to conspire to give the targets little choice. The screw would be turned until the humiliation was unbearable. Where I preferred to warn and intimidate, both concepts were now often rendered irrelevant. There was rarely anyone left standing to learn the lesson. From 87 to 95, we killed 14 people, with 8 of those in a single incident. From 95 to 02, it was nearly 3 times that. Memmings were simply off the chart. Assembling in heaven. Subtle and gradual, as I say, not overnight. The event that crystallized things for me came not long after Bob's election. We'd gotten wind of a vaught pageant, one of these travesties to which they invite local children exposed to Compound V, as well as their wretched parents, all of whom are convinced they've spawned a little cash cow. Only 5 or 10% are ever accepted, but for us it was still a fantastic intelligence-gathering opportunity. Unfortunately, Frenchie gave the game away. Cruelty to children makes him livid, and Vaught hit the panic button, then skedaddled. In this instance, the panic button included a hefty dose of sarin gas. It was a massive overreaction, and I believe the executive responsible was suspended without pay. Fucking wonderful. Still saves us the trouble, I suppose. Oh, he said, no, that's wrong. Fucking wonderful, still saves us the trouble, I suppose. Come again? Well, another 10 years or so, and we'd be wringing their necks ourselves, wouldn't we? The ones that got recruited, anyway. Not necessarily. Of course we would. Not every single soup is automatically a target. Any that continue to indulge in the usual banal hedonism without causing anyone any harm are no concern of ours. Unless the VA plans are brought into effect, of course, which is why we're here. Unless... Well, that day is obviously bound to come, but by the time it does, the intelligence we've collated, will have enabled us to identify and neutralize most of the potential threats in advance. I'll tell you how to neutralize the potential threats. You fucking dropped a lot of them. Every single arsehole in tights, you do them. And how exactly do you propose to commit this particular genocide? Well, you can't, can you? I'm talking about an ideal world. But you would if you could? Bleeding right I would. No one should be allowed to walk around with what they've got. It's just too much of a risk. As the old saying goes, with great power comes the total fucking certainty that you're gonna turn into a cunt. You think he really wants to... No, he hasn't divorced himself from reality. I think he already has exactly what he wants, and what bothers me is that I gave it to him. I spent the next year unwilling to admit it, even if I'm honest. Then came 9/11, and evidence of the Seven's involvement, and against my better judgment, I allowed it myself to be... You know what happened in that particular debacle, don't you? Some of it. I know you lost people. Long story short, Mav told us what happened on the day, and we decided to confront the Seven. The idea was to blackmail the Homelander into publicly confessing to the failed assault of the aircraft. We had no evidence from United 175, but we did have the pictures of him killing the families. You've seen those? No. Count yourself lucky. They show him sexually assaulting and dismembering 4 adults, 2 children, and an infant. We never did find out who sent them. After the initial meeting, the lamplighter trailed me to the hotel where my daughter and her children were staying. He waited until I took Helena to dinner, then broke in and murdered the 2 girls. During our next encounter, the Homelander wiped out a Delta Force unit that had been attached to us, really just to emphasize his argument. A stalemate was agreed to. I was given the lamplighter to sweeten the deal. How did that go over with? He was livid. You can imagine how he must have felt getting so close to his wife's killer. When our funding was pulled and I quit, he became downright murderous. He asked me how hard I fought for the team, but he already knew the answer. He believed I hadn't the courage to continue doing what we do, and that I'd simply had it knocked out of me. He was partly right about that. In fact, what my courage really failed me was in my refusal to confront what I'd created, to take the bit between my teeth and disband the boys myself. Rayner's phone call was the answer to my prayers. You see, what I did, my crime, was to give Butcher a war. a self-sustaining, never-ending conflict in which he can mete out the brutality and cruelty that lie at his core, forever. He can't kill them all, and he doesn't want to. All he wants is to go on hurting the people that he believes hurt him. In the end, that's what all my plans came down to. Exactly the thing I'd seen the agency do again and again, and was determined to avoid. A team. A special forces unit. Answerable to no one. Justifying its existence through the creation of its own missions and agenda, impossible to stop. Completely and totally out of control. That's not what it's... Let's see you rein them in, then. I don't even want to. I want the fucking soups watched. I think what Vault's doing is terrifying. So do I. But I should have done it the dull, old-fashioned, unglamorous way. I should have thought Russian, not American. Found a seedy little man inside VA and turned him into my spy. Instead, I created yet another CIA monster, the kind that always come back and bite us on the ass. You really think Butcher's that bad? Certain of it. There was a loose end I'd never been comfortable with, and that was Vogelbaum himself. The thought of circumstances taking him beyond my control, maybe my just not being around to keep an eye on him, was a constant worry. And if Vought got wind he was still alive, or even if someone on our side did, and had the bright idea to make our own suits, an old chestnut, but always worth considering. Not long after we formed the team, I decided it wasn't worth the risk. We had our supply of V, but we didn't even need Vogelbaum, but I still didn't quite have it in me, so I sent Butcher instead. Send him to what? Invite the old guy over for dinner, maybe sing some songs. To do what you send Butcher... To do what you send Butcher to do, Huey. He was delighted, just to get his hands on the man who started it all, who invented Compound V. Who shat them out in the fucking first place, he said. Well, you've seen him smile that smile. Right then, what's... I'm fucking starving, do you mind if we stop for a bite to eat? No way. There is no one on earth who hates like that man does. God help the Homelander if he ever really has him at his mercy. So yes, I think he's that bad. I think he loves every minute of it, and he sees no reason to stop. Burnham once compared what we do to the Cold War, but that relied on neither side ever going too far. There was never meant to be some final showdown in the ruins of the Kremlin. Burnham once compared what we do to the Cold War, but that relied on neither side ever going too far. There was never meant to be some final showdown in the ruins of the Kremlin. No, let us just take him out, Reagan. Just him. The boys against the Seven, and by extension the CIA against Fought American. That's going somewhere else entirely, which is why I washed my hands of the whole thing and came out here.
Oh, I?
Are you staying the night?
No.
Do you know something, Mr. Mallory?
Colonel Mallory. I never left the National Guard.
Aye, well, whatever. I think you're tough old bastard war veterans as much of an act as your kind-hearted English gentleman. I think you're a fake.
Really?
I think the real thing's just one more arrogant Ivy League prick who thought he had the right to fuck around with the world.
I mean, you're out here kidding yourself. You're a man of honor or whatever, and your hands are clean after all the bloody things you've done, the shite you've let loose. I'm not exactly sure who's responsible for what in all this, but it looks to me like we're talking about more than one monster.
I'd say that was about enough.
Oh, was it? Oh, what is it? You and me right here? Square goes? Are you still trying to pretend you're an American soldier, Colonel?
Colonel. Let's try that one again.
Are you still trying to pretend you're an American soldier, Colonel?
I guess there's hope for you yet, boy.
Aye, well, you just sit out here on your coast. Carry on looking at the past in the eye and feeling clean.
Hi.
Hey, so how did it go with, it was all right, Annie. I work for the CIA.
You what now?
It's my secret. It's what I've not been able to tell you. I'm sorry. It's why I'm so worried you're one of the Seven. It's how I saw that footage of you and the rest of them. I'm part of a team set up to monitor superhumans. The president's worried about Vault American, about them trying to use soups in the defense industry. I was recruited after Robin got killed. I've been doing it about as long as you've been with Seven. Where the people made such a mess of teenage kicks, we were involved with the G-Men and Payback getting wiped out. I killed the Blarney Cock myself, if the truth be told. What? I'm sorry, I stood in judgment on you, and I was just as dishonest as you were. Probably more so. Stop for a second. What? I'm in the CIA? I'm sorry to just tell you like this, especially after the way I lost the head when you came clean with me. But you deserve to know the truth. Now that I've told you, I need you to promise you'll do something for me. I want you to get as far away from me as you can. Don't go anywhere near the Seven. Don't even go back to New York. Just stay and Just stay away and stay hidden until everything's finally over and done with. I can't. Just... This is crazy. Wait a minute. Until what's over and done with? I've been telling you, not everyone likes suits. Well, the guys I work with downright fucking loathe them. Something's gonna happen sooner or later. It has to do with what's going on in the White House and how much of a bam the Homelander is. There's other things too, but the point is it's gonna be diabolical. There's gonna be all sorts of folk getting hurt. There's gonna be deaths. Oh, okay, look, I'm having trouble processing this. I think you may have gone completely nuts, but whether you have or not, there's no way I'm going to go away and leave you. I mean, if you are telling me the truth and there's some kind of trouble coming, I can't just stop. This is not the time to play superhero, to put a fucking cape and do the right thing. It's time to run away and hide under the bed and hope the world's still in one piece when you come out again. If you knew these boys, if you'd seen what they were capable of or what some of the suits have been up to over the years. Huey, I can't have you getting hurt any. I can't stand the thought of it. Because I love you. No matter what's gone between us, I still love you. What'd you tell him?
Everything.
Yeah, wondered why MM was giving in so easily. Only way it made sense was if he'd handed things over to you. I really don't give a fuck. I'm 91 years old and it feels like twice that. My daughter never spoke to me again and she's the only person I really care about. Even with all the things I got wrong, my life doesn't even qualify as a joke or a lie. It's nothing more than a lump of dog shit. So why don't you do me a favor and get it the hell over with, MM? Barbary Coast. Conclusion. Alright guys, that's it. The next chapter is The Big Ride. Alright guys, so we'll see you next time with The Big Ride. I hope you enjoyed The Barbary Coast. I've read it as best I could. I'm a little sleepy, but I'm trying not to let that, you know, ruin me. Alright guys, so we'll see you next time with Spawn. Stay tuned.